All right, I call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 3:19 p.m. on Monday, February 28th. Members present are Representatives Kaufman, Schragi, Snyder, Nelson, Co-Chair Fields, and myself, Ivy Sponholz. Let the record reflect we've got a quorum to conduct business. Thanks so much to our Secretary, Leah Fraser, and our LIO moderator, Leo Steedle. Reminder to those online to speak before to everybody, just identify yourself before speaking. For those listening online, silence your cell phones if you haven't had a chance to do so already. We have four items on our agenda today. We're also going to take a brief at ease midway through the meeting, I believe, to adopt it, to address a finance subcommittee that should go, finance subcommittee final report, which should go fairly quickly. As always, we have a busy agenda in House Labor and Commerce. We have four items: second hearing and final action on House Bill 323, extending the physical therapy and occupational therapy board, including public testimony, a second hearing for and committee action on House Bill 307, extending the bond authority for the Interior Energy Project, including public testimony, a second hearing and committee action on House Bill 306, extending the Board of Pharmacy, including public testimony, a third and final hearing on House Bill 58 relating to insurance and Medicaid coverage for contraceptives and related services. Are there any questions from members of the committee before we proceed? All right, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and start with House Bill 323, extending the Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board. We first heard this bill on February 23rd. Amendments were due yesterday, February 27th at 3 p.m., and none were received. Today we have Chris Curtis, a legislative auditor, available for room for questions if anybody has any. Before we open up to public testimony, are there any additional comments from the bill sponsor?
Madam Co-Chair, no, not from me.
I just have a closing statement. Tanner Fritz here, Staff 4, Representative Hopkins here of House District 4. I just want to say thank you again, Co-Chair Fields, Co-Chair Sponholz, and the entire Labor and Commerce Committee. HB 323 is important in keeping Alaskans who use physical and occupational therapy safe, as it extends the board's oversight into the licensing of practitioners and the appropriate standards in the industry are upheld. Passing HB 323 out of Labor and Commerce is the right step in guaranteeing that the success of the Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board continues to benefit Alaskans.
All right. Thank you very much, and appreciate those comments. And then next up, we're going to go to public testimony. Let's see. Hang on. Just brief of these. All right, back on the record, and I'm going to go ahead and open up public testimony on House Bill 323. Is there anybody in the room that would like to testify on 323? Seeing none, hearing none, there is nobody online available, so interested in testifying on House Bill 323. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Are there any additional comments that on the part of the committee before we have a motion? All right, Co-Chair Fields.
Thank you. I move HB 323 Work Order 32-LS1524/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached discipline.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 323 passes from committee. Next up, we're going to go to, thanks so much and congratulations on moving a bill out. Next up, we're going to have a second hearing on 307, extending the bond authority for the Interior Energy Project. We heard this bill again from Representative Greyer Hopkins. We heard this bill last on February 23rd. Amendments were due yesterday at 3 p.m. and none were received. Before we open up for public testimony, are there any additional comments from the bill sponsor? Nope. All right, great. Thanks. We can just move along then. We like efficiency here in House Labor and Commerce. I'm going to go ahead and open up public testimony. Is there anybody in the room that would like to testify? All right, nobody on the room. Is there anybody online that would like to testify? All right, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony. Is there any comments from the comments or questions from the committee before we have a motion? All right, Co-Chair Fields.
I move HB 307, Work Order 32-LS1409/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
All right, thank you very much. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, moves unanimously from committee. We'll sign all the committee reports at once if that's all right with everybody. Is everybody comfortable then?
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Next up, we're going to go to House Bill 306. It's a second hearing on 306, extending the Board of Pharmacy. We heard this bill on February 23rd. Amendments were due yesterday, February 27th, again at 3 p.m. No amendments were received. Today, we have the following following available for questions. We have Chris Curtis, our legislative auditor. We've got Justin Ruffridge, president of the Alaska Board of Pharmacy, who I believe was planning on calling in. It looks like we've got Laura Carrillo, who's the executive administrator for the board as well. And then we've got Sarah Chambers in the room. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Before we open up for public testimony, are there any additional we don't have actually, we're going to take a brief at ease. Let me see somebody. All right, we're going to go back on the record. Welcome, Representative Story. We're having our second hearing on House Bill 307 today. Oh, sorry, 306 today. We've had a lot of bills in the last 5 minutes. Extending the Board of Pharmacy. We first heard the bill on the 23rd. No amendments were received by the deadline yesterday at 3 p.m. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to make any additional comments on the bill before we open up for public testimony.
Thank you, Co-Chair Sponholz and Co-Chair Fields and the whole Labor and Commerce Committee. It is good to be here today. I really wanted to just acknowledge how important the Board of Pharmacy is to Alaska and Alaskans. And I think about, I have a relationship with my local pharmacist, and it really helps guide me in the care of how I take medications. And so I just am really pleased to have this bill before you for renewal of the board. I don't have much to add besides that. I am very pleased that Chris Curtis, legislative auditor, and staff from the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing is here, as well as members of the Board of Pharmacy. They are either in the room or online to address any other questions the committee may have. And I really appreciate your consideration of House Bill 306.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate you carrying the bill, and I'd like to welcome Representative McCarty, who's joined us at 3:27 p.m. All right, and I think that we had a question. Justin Ruffridge with the State Board of Pharmacy has joined us. If there's any member of the committee that have any questions before we move into public testimony. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Rep. Snyder.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to take this opportunity since we had folks on the line who are knowledgeable on this issue. I believe I heard from a hearing and another body that perhaps the Board of Pharmacy has taken a position or a more specific position regarding veterinarian participation in the PDMP, and if it was possible to receive an update or clarification on that, I'd be grateful.
Mr. Ruffridge, yes, you have the question?
Thank you. Through the chair, the Board of Pharmacy at their last meeting did vote to support the bill that was currently in front of the legislature to exempt veterinarians from the PDMP. I believe Representative Sponholz sort of spoke to that briefly at our last meeting in regards to the fact that there are some potential updates that are needed in the PDMP to work in a more efficient and cohesive manner. In the meantime, since the veterinarians are not participating in the current rendition of the PDMP, until some changes are made, it seemed that the Board of Pharmacy was in support of that exemption until such time as those changes were put in place. And that was just, I think there was a letter sent out, I think at the end of last week, in regards to that as well.
Mr. Ruffridge, this is Chair Sponholz. I want to ask you a question about that, because in looking at the participation rates, it actually, in the report that was provided, I believe in the Sunset report on the Board of Pharmacy, veterinarians are participating actually at a higher rate than are many of the other prescribers. And while I think that I made comments that we needed to potentially update the statute regarding veterinary participation, I don't think that I meant to imply that veterinarians should not participate in the PDMP, just that we should potentially update the statute to make it easier for them to use. Do you have any further comments?
Yeah, Sponholz, for the question. Well, this has been a long time coming, frankly, and that was the discussion that was at the board level for us. And you're correct, the data with the PDMP for veterinarians does show that higher rate. However, we are speaking about a smaller number of individuals. And so just as you see with pharmacists and pharmacies, we currently have the highest rate of usage of the PDMP, but it's because the usage for us was relatively straightforward and clear, reporting with no review requirement unless we felt like there was a necessity to review. We had access to review. So the pharmacy board has a high rate of usage in the high 90% percentages. Other prescribers, however, because they, one, there's more of them, and two, it's unclear as to what the delegate usage can be for especially physicians and things of that nature. We've seen it'd be difficult to move boards in the direction of needing to discipline licensees for non-review requirements. The veterinary board found themselves in an equally tough position, which was having to undergo investigations for individuals who were, in a lot of cases, just providing pretty normal everyday care. But the zero reporting requirement was very burdensome for many vets, and it's just a small number of individuals. I felt like they had made their case relatively well to the board, and the board certainly at this last meeting agreed with them on the exemption. However, the board has certainly talked in the past about the need for some changes to the PDMP in regards to that conversation about changes and efficiencies. And the veterinary board chair has also discussed, you know, that would be a great time for them to have a seat at the table and discuss those issues as well.
Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Dr. Ruffridge. I'm curious if you were aware and if it factored into the board's conversations of a recently published, it was either late 2021 or early 2022, looking at a pretty significant increase in the instance of vet shopping as it pertains to opioids. I suppose my question is, have you reviewed that? And if so, what were your takeaways? And if not, I might recommend that we familiarize ourselves with that ahead of future hearings on that bill that we're referring to.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Snyder. That's an excellent question. And some of the stuff that we hear at the board level, we had reports actually from the DEA as well in regards to that being a concern. However, in the current usage of the PDMP, and actually the Board of Pharmacy has language and regulation that we are working towards right now to solidify how reporting of veterinary prescriptions even happens in the PDMP. That's been a difficulty. For example, some pharmacies input veterinary prescriptions under an owner's name with the dog's name or cat's name somewhere else in the record. Some individuals don't input the owner's name at all, and it's the animal's name in particular, the animal's birthday. So actually querying the PDMP to find out whether or not someone is shopping vets is as simple as changing the animal's name by going vet to vet, because there's no identifying marks. So this has been a question at the Board of Pharmacy level. Do we need to have a clear description of how veterinary data is input not only into our pharmacy software, but also into the PDMP? And the answer to that was, yeah, we think that is a regulation that's needed, and that language is currently currently in regulation project.
So this is Chair Sponholz, Mr. Ruffridge. So essentially what you're saying is that there's some work that's being done to clarify how vets would have to enter in information in the PDMP if they were to continue to comply. I would highly encourage you to read that Journal of Veterinary Medicine report that shows that I believe it's a threefold increase in opioid prescription amongst veterinarians in the last 5 years. And so we are seeing there's, you know, a peer-reviewed data that shows that there is an increase in vet shopping. And I think that this committee is interested in simplifying the statute and provide any statutory updates that are necessary to make it easy for folks to participate. It certainly seems like there's some make-work elements and some ambiguity that need to be addressed. But I think that clearly we continue to have a public health crisis as it relates to the opioid epidemic and the costs of turning a blind eye to a small subsection of the provider community could be, you know, really costly for individual Alaskans over time. And we all bear the cost of that. And so I just think that, you know, Representative Snyder and I are both, you know, concerned and curious about, the best way, and maybe finding the third way that's not opting them out, not leaving it as it is now, but potentially updating the statute so we can still meet our public health need while making sure that the PDMP is more user-friendly and more transparent for veterinarians and other, frankly, license types who are required to participate in the PDMP. Do you have any additional comments on that?
I do, and thank you for that comment, Chair Sponholz. I have to say I agree wholeheartedly with your statement. In my experience in this role, there has been very clear evidence that there are some tweaks that are needed. One of the simple ones to move away from veterinarians for 1 second is the fact that overdose deaths in our state have gone up. And that's with the PDMP in place. I think there's some additional features like integrating data regarding overdoses into the PDMP. So using state data that we already collect, and moving that into the PDMP data. So physicians and other prescribers are aware of issues that might be coming up with patients that they're seeing. There's work that needs to be done on it, and it's certainly one that the Board of Pharmacy holds pretty near and dear, and we would love to have that conversation further at whatever date you deem appropriate.
All right, great. I think we'll be following up with you and Director Chambers after this meeting so we can try to identify a time to talk about what some potential solutions might be moving forward. Are there any additional questions either for the bill sponsor or for Mr. Ruffridge? All right. There are no additional questions. Thanks for your time today, Mr. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have a question, McCarty? I wasn't sure.
Yes.
Do you have a question? Representative McCarty, go ahead.
So I want to get back to the bill regarding the extension of the pharmacy mm-hmm. board. So the reason that the board is only 6 years is because of some issues of the audit. Mm-hmm. And yet it's not reflected in the bill that's why it's only 6 years. And I'm wondering if it would be necessary to have such language in there so that those audit issues could be addressed when the next review happens.
Representative McCarty, it's actually pretty typical that the sunset audit findings are presented alongside the sunset extension legislation. The legislation doesn't typically include any reference to that, but it's implied when you have a shorter sunset extension that there were some issues that needed to be addressed. Does that address your concern, or would you like to hear from Ms. Curtis, our legislative auditor?
Ms. Curtis, come in.
Ms. Curtis, welcome.
For the record, this is Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. So the reduction in the extension isn't necessarily a reflection of any specific finding and recommendation. It's to recognize the board's evolving role in combating the public health crisis and recognizing that it is my recommendation not to wait 8 years to come back to see how the board is adapting to the new laws and also hearing new laws are continuing to be discussed. So I recommended a 6 years time frame. The legislature may want to consider reducing that or increasing it if that is the will of the legislature.
All right. Do you have any additional questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Curtis. Appreciate it. All right, and with that, we're going to go ahead and open up public testimony in House Bill 306. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Nope. All right, is there anybody online that would like to testify? All right, it looks like we have Dwayne Wood in Anchorage. Mr. Wood, would you like to testify?
Hi. Thank you, Representative Funholz. My name is Dwayne Wood. I'm a pharmacy student with the UAA ISU College of Pharmacy program here in Anchorage, Alaska. And I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born and raised in rural Southeast Alaska, and hopefully a future student representative of the Alaska Pharmacists Association. I wholeheartedly support HB 306 regarding the extension of the Alaska Board of Pharmacy. And I just want to point out that every state in the U.S. has such a board to structure, guide, and maintain our pharmacy community. For anyone listening who's not aware, the board maintains the professional licenses of pharmacists, our techs, our interns. I just think that my colleagues, our whole community would benefit from the knowledge that our professional licenses and the Board of Pharmacy are on solid ground.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions for Mr. Wood? And Mr. Wood, I just have to say it makes my heart sore to hear that we have an Alaskan pharmacy student right now. And it's another example of why it's so important to have a strong university system in Alaska. All right, and Mr. Ruffridge, I think, was just available for questions. Mr. Ruffridge, do you have any testimony that you wanted to add additionally, or were you just available for questions?
No.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Representative.
Thanks so much. All right, next up, we've got Barry Christensen in Ketchikan. Mr. Christensen?
Yes, thank you, Chair Swanholz. My name is Barry Christensen. I'm a practicing pharmacist in Ketchikan. I'm also co-chair of the Alaska Pharmacists Association Legislative Committee, and on behalf of the association, we are here today to wholeheartedly support the extension bill of House Bill 306, Board of Pharmacy. They do a great job for us. They have over the years. A little background, I've been with the association a long time, all the way back to the days of Senator Lyda Green when she worked with us to put forward the PDMP program that you spoke of earlier. So That has been a work in motion, and the Board of Pharmacy over the years has done a great job, we think, in nurturing that program, making sure that it continued. So, again, on behalf of the Alaska Pharmacists Association, we firmly support this bill. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for your testimony today. All right. There's no other testifiers available. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Are there any other questions or comments before we consider a final motion? All right, Co-Chair Fields.
Thank you. I move HB 306 Work Order 32-LS-1434/A from Committee with Individual Recommendations and Attached Fiscal Notes.
Is there any objections? All right, seeing no objections, House Bill 306 moves unanimously from committee. We're going to now take a brief at ease and take up our finance subcommittee and finish signing paperwork. We will come back to finish consideration on House Bill 58 after our finance subcommittee. Thank you. All right, I call this meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee back to order at 4:21 p.m. Today is our fourth and final item for the day. We're having a third hearing on House Bill 58 relating to insurance and Medicaid coverage for contraceptives and related services. We heard this bill twice in spring of 2021. Committee members may remember, including public testimony. Amendments were due yesterday, February 27th at 3 p.m., and no amendments were received. Today, we have the following individuals available to answer questions. Just confirming you're all with us. Renee Gayhart, Director of the Division of Healthcare Services with the Department of Health and Social Services. Aaron Naris, who is the lead pharmacist with the Division of Healthcare Services, who's available to answer questions regarding the fiscal note. We've got Lori Wing-Hire, who is here in the room. Thank you, Ms. Wing-Hire. She's the director of the Division of Insurance in the Department of Commerce and Community Economic Development. Can I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 58?
Why, yes. I move House Bill 58, Work Order 32-LS0259/I-FRONT. I move that we adopt.
There we go.
CS for HB 58 as the working document.
Is there any objection? All right, seeing none.
Go out here quickly.
That would have been very, very efficient. Even more efficient than usual for labor and commerce. But now we've got the CS before us, version I, which is open discussion. We'd like to have an explanation of the changes from the bill sponsor and his staff, if they'd like to provide that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Matt Clayman, House Representative for House District 21, and I will actually ask my staff, Lizzie Kubitz, to provide the analysis and background on the committee substitute.
All right, thanks. Ms. Kubitz.
For the record, Lizzie Kubitz, staff to Representative Clayman. Version I of House Bill 58 removes the reference to voluntary sterilization procedures previously found on page 2, line 1 of version B. So, to provide some background, in spring 2021, the Division of Insurance met with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid and were advised that male sterilization, as written in version B of House Bill 58, is broader than what is required by the federal government. The Affordable Care Act defines that the 10 essential health benefits, which includes coverage for contraceptives, is to be as broad as the guidelines provided by the Health Resources and Services Administrative Women's Preventative Services Guidelines, which is in your bill packet, and the HRSA guidelines are applicable to females. They do not address male contraceptives or sterilization. Therefore, because the federal government would expect the state to defray the cost of male sterilization as provided in version B of House Bill 58, version I, the CS in front of you, was drafted to remove the reference to voluntary sterilization procedures. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And I think it's unfortunate that it's not included in one of the essential benefits as required by the Affordable Care Act, but it would add a pretty significant fiscal note to the bill. And I think it was our intention to, you know, ensure that the bill didn't have a significant fiscal impact. We're not saying that male sterilization isn't a very welcome contribution to family planning in the state of Alaska in any respect. All right. Is there any additional questions from the bill for the bill sponsor on the bill? Nope. All right. I'd consider a motion.
I move House Bill 58, Work Order 32-LS0259/I from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection?
I'll object.
All right. Would you like to speak to your objection?
No.
All right. Would the clerk call the roll? Would the secretary call the roll?
Yes.
Representative
Rodney? Yes.
Representative
Nelson? No. Representative Hoffman? Fletcher Fields? Yes. Representative Hard yes.
5 yeas, 1 nay.
All right, thank you. Moves House Bill 58 from committee. If committee members can stick around and sign the paperwork, thanks so much to Representative Clayman and Ms. Kubitz for joining us here today. That wraps up our business today. Our next committee meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, March 2nd at 3:15 here in Barnes Room 124, and we're going to be hearing about workforce development in rural Alaska. Thanks so much to our Secretary, Leah Fraser, today, and our LAO moderator, Leo Steedle. This meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee is adjourned to at 4:26 p.m.